Blog Talk Radio.
Questions or comments, that you dial 929-477-6107.
929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And when you're ready to, with a question or comment, press 1, and that would put you in the queue. And so we're going to move forward. And also, if you have not done so, please, after the call, go to usliftingus.com. That's our webpage, usliftingus.com, and make sure you do a thorough review of that webpage. And when you get to the home page, you would see 3 videos on the right. Make sure that you do listen to those videos and take notes. And also, there's an online presentation that's about 17 minutes. Make sure you really make sure that you go through that presentation. And at the end, you would be have the opportunity to request further information about Us Lifting Us. And also on the webpage, you can also leave your contact information so that we can alert you to any events or our Thursday calls. And please make sure you go to that website, usliftingus.com, and take notes and communicate with us. And you can do that. The telephone number is on the site as well as email contact. And Us Lifting Us is the mission is to build and maintain and pass to future generations the machinery of true economic empowerment for our people. And it says true economic empowerment for our people, and something that we must do. And now more than ever, and every second that goes by, it's getting more and more vital. There's lots and lots of evidence in the news that we got to get busy, unifying and pooling our resources to do for self and to build our economic empires so that we can survive in this economic world. Before I go any further, and of course, Us Lifting Us, for anyone that's on the call or finding out about Us Lifting Us for the first time, we do operate using the cooperative model, not the capitalistic model. And the cooperative is a democratically run business where the members are also owners. And your owners and all the members that are Us Lifting Us, they are owners, member owners, and every member owner has a say-so. So that's dramatically different from the capitalistic system where you are a worker, employee, you've got a boss. In Us Lifting Us, we don't have bosses. We have members, owners, and in our businesses that we'll talk about later, like Cafe Ulu, which is our coffee shop, and Internet Lounge, we have member owners and workers, but no bosses. Baba Hakima, you'd like to add something at this point before we go any further?
Yeah, brother. We're living in a strange time. It's really baffling, you know, what we're going through. And, of course, those of us in the U.S. are bombarded every day with something that the U.S. president does. And, of course, the situation at the Mexican border with the separation of the parents and the children is not only upsetting those of us who on this side of the world look at it, but it's international news. It's globally, you know, wherever you are in the world, this is what is being shown. The images, the sounds of the children crying, and it's hard for anybody to make sense of what is occurring. But, of course, I think we understand that what is occurring in America and in Europe and certain other countries in the world is a result of a systemic problem in the global economic system, the capitalist economic system, where the huge disparities in terms of income in situations where one worker gets paid a particular amount, and another worker can get 400 times that amount, 500 times that amount. And so these economies are in crisis. And so you have two forces, it seems to me, the liberal democratic forces or liberalism, and then you have now rearing its head these nationalistic forces, populist and popularism. And of course, Trump is a populist. And so you've got the struggle between these forces in terms of how to maintain privilege, in particular white privilege. But anyway, there's so many aspects of the global systemic crisis that the current economic system is in, and of course it affects us. And because it affects us, and it's always affected us, we have to be players. We just can't sit on the sidelines and wonder if the right is going to win or the left is going to win, if the populist is going to win or the social democrats are going to win. We have to take it upon ourselves to place ourselves in the driver's seat in terms of what our future will be and what the future of our children and our grandchildren will be, to the extent that we can. And so even though we talk about the crisis, we've been in crisis all along. And just as a bit of a backdrop, in 2011 here in Atlanta, Georgia, a handful of us came together and developed a study group. And for a little over a year, every week face-to-face, we did research and discussed among ourselves, assigned ourselves reading material. We interviewed people who knew more than we knew. And then in the last, form, in June of 2013, we formed US Left and US Economic Development Cooperative as a limited liability company. So US Left and US is a business. However, we structured it as a cooperative, one member, one vote with elected leadership. And I want to set the stage, Brother Thurman, for a lively discussion. And I want to set it with by asking, you know, a kind of a common question. Most of us have ourselves asked the question or we've been around the question. And it's not uncommon that we would ask each other, do you think we should control the economics of our own community? And almost every time you ask that question, our brothers and sisters says, of course. And then the next question that should be asked and must be asked of each of us, well, how do you think that could be done? In other words, what is the method? What is the blueprint? What is the roadmap for us gaining control of the economics of our community? And so hopefully we can be more specific in terms of the Ulu answer for that question this evening. We knew that Garvey had an answer. We knew that the Nation of Islam under the leadership of Elijah Muhammad had an answer, at least for a portion of our community. We knew we had answers in small pockets during the early 1900s, later 1800s and early 1900s with Black Wall Street, with Haiti and Durham, with, you know, more than 100 communities of business excellence. We know that our brother Claude Anderson has written some prescriptive works, and the most important of those is Powernomics, and Jim Clingman and others with Blackonomics. So there has been attention to that, maybe not as much as we would have liked. But one of the things that becomes self-evident that if a group ownership component is not a part of the mix, cooperative ownership, mutual ownership, again, group ownership, if it's not a part of the mix, in today's climate, it's very difficult to build power, to build economic power. We often have a discussion about Black Wall Street. And, of course, I'm from North Carolina originally, and Hayti District of Durham, North Carolina, was, by some accounts, more successful than Tulsa. But we don't want to get involved in that argument. But in either case, the walls, the container within which those small economies emerged, were fortified essentially by Jim Crow, violence to our community. In many cases, we could not go across the tracks, even if we had money. We weren't welcome in that part of the community. So the walls or the container within which we built Black Wall Street and we built other communities of black business excellence, those walls and parameters and, again, the walls of those containers were sometimes the force was external more than it was internal. That's not to say that we didn't love each other and know that we needed each other. However, when those communities were attacked either violently or systemically in terms of manipulating our taste so that we were invited to go into other communities and spend our monies, and when we did, we took energy away from ours, and at a point, those communities collapsed. So today, the walls of the container that we have to build, the black economy, black economic empowerment, have to be built with something other than a threat from outside. It has to be a force that's internal. And what I want to suggest that we never fail to acknowledge this in our discussions is that the ingredient of ownership and what's in it for me, what's the benefit for me, my family, but primarily ownership has to be and group ownership, not just individual ownership, but group ownership has to be a factor and probably the primary factor as we move forward to in the future in terms of black economic empowerment. And, Brother Thurman, let me say this, and then I'm going to stop. one of our, the manager down at Cafe Ulu, we were sitting the other day, and we did a Google search for the number of black-owned businesses in Atlanta. And the search came back with 140,000 black-owned businesses. Now, that may be accurate. It may not be accurate. But point to any other city, a small town, where there's a sizable black population. Let's say Kankakee, Illinois. And I'm not picking on Kankakee. It just came up. But let's say we went there and we found 25, 50 black-owned businesses. And then you contrast that with Atlanta, with 140,000 black-owned business. And by the way, half of those are solopreneurs, people who are in business but don't have not one employee, just by themselves. But the point I want to make is that in both of those scenarios where you have 25 black-owned businesses in an area and then in another area you have, you have 140,000 black-owned businesses, in both of the situations, there is no social power. So what I'm suggesting that us just going into business for ourselves and us just supporting those businesses is not enough. There needs to be another economic factor at play. And what we're suggesting is that what is necessary is what we call Ujamaa or family-centered economics. Thousands of us, tens of thousands, eventually hundreds of thousands, if not millions of us, coming together to pool our resources and operating as owners together, and then using our resources, our financial and other resources and human resources to build an economy for ourselves. Well, I'll just stop there, Thurman, because you know I'll be talking all week, and, you know, folk will have to come out here and get me. But anyway, I'll stop there and continue the discussion more pointed, if necessary, and obviously involving the brothers and sisters who have joined the call with us. Thank you.
Yes, brother. Thank you. So very, very informative. And family members, please be taking notes and just realize how serious this matter is, but also realize that us lifting us is in place. It's not in the talking stage. Us lifting us does have the winning plan for us to take control of the economics of our community. And you've heard what's been mentioned so far on the call. You know what's happening in current events, so you should be paying attention. And our situation is very, very serious. And we're asking you to come forth and join us. Join us. We have the plan in place. Join us. We have a sane model, not the insane model. Join us and be a part of helping to build this so that we can build many, many, many into the hundreds and thousands of us lifting us businesses where every member owner has a say-so and they are member owner of each business, you know, not just the first business like Cafe Ulu that we'll talk about in a little bit, but when we've got 50 businesses, 100 businesses, 1,000 businesses, as long as you stay qualified and active as a member, once you have applied and you are accepted, you would be a member owner of every preceding business that we open up. And if you got any questions, please call us. And the call-in number is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, and press 1, and that would put you in the queue. And before we continue on, Baba Hakima, there's a caller that I want to recognize and welcome to the call. And the area code is 5103, 5103. Thank you so much. Welcome to the call, and give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? This is Brother Sean from New York. How you guys doing?
Doing well, welcome, man. It's always good to hear your voice.
Always, Brother Keeman. I want to let you know I got the package.
Beautiful.
And everything is good to go.
Good.
Yes. I was, you know, just listening to the conversation here is great. And Brother Hakima, like always, you're dropping the signs, dropping some good jewels. But for us to take this economic cooperative thing where we want to go, and we know as we're building it now and in the future, obviously we will have a greater impact on our community. How do we keep this theology inside of our community? Because your generation, my generation, all of us working together, we have to do something that we can transfer that pride, that wanting to spend with each other, that working in cooperative fashion can pass to the next generation. You know, because if we don't have institutions in the future that keeps that mentality coming, you know, inside of our community, then outside forces can change our focus like they did before, or our taste. As you
there
said,
you
Brother
go.
Hakim.
There you go. Brother Sean, how old are you now?
I'm 34.
Okay. I'm 74. So
okay.
Already we got some generations going here. I'm not quite 74. I've been 2 months. But the unique thing about Ulu is that membership is of legal age, 18 or 16, depending on which state you're in. And, of course, members do not have to be U.S. citizens, so they can be around the world. But
mm-hmm.
members, once you join, you can also take out a custodial membership for your grandchild, for your child. That mm-hmm. member, a custodial member, cannot vote until they're of legal age, but you can begin to build equity in the company for that grandchild. Or that great-grandchild. Now, one of the things that happened in Atlanta, we have some members who are not voting age who actually go into Cafe Ulu with their chest stuck out because they know their owner. They're on the turtle
That's
list.
Right.
And they actually go behind the counter and learn it. And so
That's right.
We can do it. And, of course, Ulu is for us, us lifting
no
us.
Sir.
And we
no
try
sir.
As best we can to keep that pure. And we know it's not going to always be there, but when we find it, we can root it out because if a person joins and they're not from our community, they committed fraud because the application allows them to affirm who they are. But what will happen, brother, is that much of our development will be concentrated in certain communities, and that at a certain level of development, the whole world is going to know that this is Africa Town. It may not
That's
be
right.
that name.
And, hey, I love the name.
Yeah, but you're gonna see Korean business people meet on the streets in Seoul, and they're going to say, well, you know, if you go to America, you better not go to this section because the Africans
there's
got
no business
it sold
you.
Up. You can't do
no
any
question.
Business in there. And so they'll
no
know it. But the important thing is what you put your finger on. Is that we will know it. Not only the old heads will know it, but the youth will know it. The
right.
people in the streets will know it. The people in the church will know it. And from a psychological and spiritual level, that's critical. See, we don't often talk about the benefits to be derived from our experiment, one of which we point out is dignity. That's important. Dignity may be more important than dividends. For
no
a
question.
Young person to grow up knowing that, yes, they can go off to college and get this skill or training school, go wherever in the world, get training school, but they have an opportunity to come back to their community and to apply what it is that they've learned. So remember,
and no question, and that's good. I'm
go
sorry. Yeah. No, I was just saying, and in general, for our community, is good.
Say that again.
I said, no, in general, for our community, it would be good just for kids who come from the community
oh, yeah.
to see, hey, I could get opportunities right here. Let me go to Cafe Ulu. Let me go to
yeah.
we own a supermarket. We own this. I can get jobs for my own, and I don't
yeah.
always have to, you know, beg people
yeah.
or do, you know, to others.
Exactly.
No question.
Brother Sean, a lot of times we think about building businesses from the ground, but as Ulu progresses, there are going to be a lot of businesses that we're going to acquire. Assume, will purchase. I mean,
okay.
already established, and in some cases, with a positive cash flow, businesses that are producing a product, good, or service that we would want to have as a part of our portfolio. Not in every
no
situation will we have to start from scratch. But I thank you for the question. I'm glad you got your package, and you've got some new
no
members
question.
Up there in New York with you as well. So, we'll be introducing you to some new Ulu members up there. Thank you.
That's great, fellas, man. And I just want to say, just listening in, you know, every Thursday, this is just something I really look forward to. And I'm literally at work right now. But just to hear this keeps me going, brother. You know, just that belief in our community that, you know, eventually it will come where we own where we live. And people understand that, hey, you can't just come here and do what you want in this community. No,
yeah.
this is owned by people of African descent. And, you know, we can still have respect and for others. But
yeah.
time to take care of ours. And one thing about, you know, the immigration situation, which is a tragedy to see for children like that. But
yeah.
I think that this is a good time for us as people of African descent. We have problems. We have enemies out there. But the spotlight is not so negatively on us, and that we need to come together with our money, take back our community and other people's problems, let they fight for their problems. And we just take care of, you know, of our situation and our problems and reverse our condition, you know?
I understand. Thank you for calling,
no
brother.
Question. No problem, brother. Have a good night. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much always, brother. And family members, just recognize the value of how much we need each other. Baba Hakeem, are you still there?
I am.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I saw something drop off. So,
right.
All right. So, family members, we need each other. And as the brother said, you know, even at being in the workplace, he does so much for him to be a part of this call, and it does so much to have him and all of the sisters and brothers that are on the call, that participate, that call in, and even if you don't call in, we feel your spirit, and we need each other, and we've got to get busy, and we are asking you to come forth, if you're not already a member, to join us, lifting us. We're asking you to be like the turtle that's part of one of the slides on our online presentation. It says that he only makes progress only when he sticks his neck out. And for those of us that have already joined, we've stuck our neck out, and we're inviting you to come forward with courage and stick your neck out to make a difference for our people, for your age group, for the elders, and to please the ancestors, and also for the babies that will come behind us, so that we can make sure that we are leaving a legacy, and ideally that we grow to the point that we are leaving multiple generations of legacies like others are doing. And so when the Koreans was mentioned, Koreans and their business that they do, and they make billions of dollars off of African people, we need to take those dollars. And with the dollars, the millions and billions that they make off of African people, those people are setting up their legacy for multiple generations, not just the next one, but multiple generations. And so we've got to move on. And as I said earlier, if you got a question or comment, you dial 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1, and that will put you in the queue, and we would recognize you on the call. And Barbara Hakima, I know you had some other points that you wanted to go over, including...
Yes, I do. Yeah. So, two things, right, yeah. Cafe Hulu and something new for our members and potential members. We have just initiated what we call in general our strategic growth campaign, but specifically the name is Target 2020 and Beyond. And so we have initiated a monthly promo, primarily by email at this point, using the radio show, using our monthly meetings, using every tool that we have. We want all of our members to get in motion, doing essentially two things: inviting people you know to go to our website and from our homepage to review the top video at last. It's a 17-minute overview of Hulu. And then invite that person. The second thing we want you to do is invite that person to come to this call on Thursdays. So invite people you know to go to our website and encourage them also to come to this Thursday night call. And we want all of our members to commit to doing enough to get one person, at least one person, to do those two things on a weekly basis. There's some other things involved in the campaign, but we want to be clear about our target or benchmarks. We want to have, and we think we can have with the tools that we're putting in place, an additional 1,000 members by March of next year. And then by March of 2020, an additional 1,000 units of ownership in Hulu secured, or 1,000 shares. And so those are the targets in our campaign. And for members and people who are on our mailing list, you'll see more and more information about the campaign. And we're not going to wait until the end of the campaign to use the fruits of the campaign for business expansion. All along, we'll be creating new businesses, cementing and strengthening the existing businesses. And, of course, most of you know that we're already into coffee with Cafe Hulu, and the website is cafehulu.com. And so if you go on that website, and in particular, click onto the Facebook icon at the bottom of the page, and view our activities on the website, you'll see videos and calendars and events. You'll see it's quite busy. But one of the things I want to point out is that coffee is the second most traded commodity in the world, only outpaced by oil. So even though you look at a 2,000 square foot coffee house and you say that's not making a dent in anything, but once you get hundreds and eventually thousands of those and you begin to work the industry and the trade such that we're not only retailing, we're involved in the distribution, in the import and export, and maybe even some of our ULU members will be involved at the base level. We know of people who in this hemisphere have coffee trees. So it's a big industry, and our entry into the into the industry and our growth into the industry could very easily create a scenario where our brothers and sisters who are involved in that industry and trade could receive a much fairer price for what they produce. So two things, Cafe ULU and our strategic growth campaign. And the other thing we want to remind brothers and sisters, even though you're not in Atlanta, you may not be in Atlanta, you can still order coffee from our Cafe ULU website. That's cafeulu.com. Order coffee, Cameroonian coffee, Ethiopian coffee, from Tanzania, and maybe even some other places. Order it by the whole bean or ground, and that will help. And for brothers and sisters who are in the Atlanta metropolitan area, we want to encourage you at least once a week, visit Cafe ULU and bring someone with you and get in the habit. Now, we have members who they've set up in Cafe ULU, and it's his office. I mean, not only do we have Wi-Fi, but in the coming few days, we're going to have wireless printers so that the work that you do, you don't have to go to someplace else to print out your work as well. So it's quite a refreshing experience. But the main thing I want to announce is for our members to be mindful and on the lookout weekly for an email from Us Lifting Us. The subject line starting next week will be Target 2020 and Beyond Weekly Promo. And it will be chock full of opportunities for us to take part in the growth of ULU, to be rewarded for that. We want to get cities in competition with each other for upcoming ULU business expansion, and maybe our yearly members meeting and convention. It would be nice, Sean, if you and the brothers and sisters in New York say, you know, we don't want to come down to Atlanta. We're strong enough to host the annual meeting up here, or for brothers and sisters in Richmond or Baltimore or Philly, or, you know, we have clusters of members in key cities all across the country, in Dallas, in Houston, in St. Louis. So the promo will stir the pot and keep the pot stirring in terms of us reaching our goals of 1,000 new members by March of next year and 1,000 units secured by our members by 2020. And, you know, that's not a big feat. 1,000 units at $1,000 each, that's $1 million. But we want to be in a position where that's almost second nature for us, is that on a consistent basis, we are bringing in new capital, and then our already existing businesses, as they succeed, also generate capital that goes back into the pool for expansion and growth. So those are the two things that I want to make sure that we cover tonight before we get off. Are there, Brother Thurman, are there any things you think we should point out in particular about Cafe ULU?
Well, you had mentioned pay disparity earlier, and also I would think that a lot of our people that are not familiar with the cooperative model, if you could paint a picture of what it would feel like, in using Cafe Ulu as an example, to be a
right.
member owner worker in this cooperative, the Ulu cooperative model, in comparison to what it would be like if the brother is there working as an employee, and then he's got a boss or more than one boss. It's a different
yeah.
field.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's really important. Cafe Ulu is what we call a secondary cooperative. The primary cooperative is all of the members globally. You know, the few members that we have in Canada, Europe, East Africa, West Africa, the Caribbean. And so we are the members. We are the primary co-op or the parent co-op. Every business that we start, whether we start it from scratch or acquire, is a secondary co-op. The secondary co-op is completely owned 100% by the primary co-op. So we own, lock, stock, and barrel, every business that we ever start. And that for every business that we start that produces a surplus, part of that surplus comes back to people who qualify, members who qualify for profit sharing. But inside of the secondary co-op, it is a co-op. It's structured as a co-op. And the workers in our design ought to be members and owners as well. Now, you may be in a situation where, based on staffing needs, you may need to hire someone. You may not be able to go into the membership and find someone who's ready and prepared to take a job inside of Cafe Ulu or another secondary cooperative. But anyone who becomes employed by any of our secondary cooperatives do so understanding that they must become a member and they must become an owner, or at an appropriate time, they will be replaced. That's a requirement. And the reason for that is that when each secondary cooperative reaches maturity and begin to produce a surplus, the workers are the first persons to benefit from the success of that local business. So in addition to a salary, and we want to get in a position where there are benefits, but that worker also will receive a bonus on top of their salary from the success of the business, because we want to have the workers adequately motivated to drive the success of the business. But part of the success of the business is going to come from the collective genius and the minds of the workers. So the workers form a team. They have a team leader, quote unquote, a manager, but it's a team effort. But in addition to workers being members, we also want each worker to own at least one co-op unit or share, so that in addition to a salary and a bonus, they also qualify for profit sharing. So in Ulu, the worker is king, gets paid a salary with benefits, gets paid a bonus, and also profit sharing. We want to make this a benefit-rich environment for our workers. And so it's only fair that if you're trying to create a co-op environment, you don't want persons who seem to have advantage or perks that other members don't have. And so you want everybody in that environment to be a member and an owner. Now, obviously, many workers, when they first come to work, cannot afford to purchase a share or a unit. And so we'll work out a way incrementally just to take a little bit out of your check to pay for a unit and do it piecemeal, so to speak. but the environment not only from the workers, but for the members who come into Cafe Ulu or secondary co-op as customers, and for the general public, the feel has to be based on family values, African-centered values, wholesome values, and so we want to engender a situation where in every situation in business where the public comes into our space, there's a different feel. There's an important video on the internet where Amy Goodman with, I think her program is Democracy Now!, she interviewed the information coordinator with the Mondragon Cooperative in Spain, which is a very successful worker co-op, not too dissimilar from Ulu in terms of its structure. The difference, the biggest difference, is that we allow for stakeholders beyond workers. They only allow for workers. But she asked the question, what about the businesses that operate in your part of the country that are not part of your co-op? And his answer was that because of the success of the co-op, every business in their area where they dominate has had to change and modify its behavior because people expected something different. And that's important. In other words, we want the kind of feeling to be engendered in our businesses that hopefully will be duplicated in all of the businesses in our community, whether or not they're co-ops or whether or not or they're individually owned business enterprises. So thank you for that question, Brother Thurman, in terms of the culture inside of not only the businesses, but inside of Ulu and all of our committees and teams. We want that same culture, feel, to be on display, not in any fake kind of way, but in a real way, because that's where your power is derived, from your values, from your culture, from your character.
Yes, brother. Beautiful, beautiful. Good word, good word. Brother, just want to pause. We got a couple of family members that are on the line, and I want to recognize them. Caller, the last four numbers is 5259, 5259. Please give your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Brother Jelani Ukweli. I'm calling from Decatur, Georgia. Right now I'm in Mobile, Alabama.
Beautiful. Good to hear you, brother. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to kind of add on to what you, Brother Thurman, had been saying about us being in such a precarious position where we have to come up with some answers. And I would like to emphasize that we need real leadership.
Yes.
And Us Lifting Us is providing a foundation for that real leadership that we should have. Because what has gone on is that we have been misguided to think that certain things that were put into place was really giving us a foundation of equality and power in our community and in the United States. They had presidents, mayors, federal laws, civil lawsuits, white shame tactics, legislators and news exposés on this racist company and that racist company. All of that set up a false idea inside of our mind that we didn't need any leadership, that everything was going to be taken care of. But in actuality, what they did was they developed a false bottom for us. So we live in a reality that someone has really pulled the bottom from up under us. And we have nobody in Congress, nobody in the federal government, nobody on TV, really, talking for us. We're in a very precarious position. No other people is like this. And they got a lot of us bamboozled.
Yes, bro. Bro, Baba Hakima, you got any comments you want to?
No, just thanking the brother for his comments. Yes, you know, yes. I know him, and I know his spirit, and I know he's serious. And so thank you for your comments. And
you're welcome, bro.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Stay with us and keep on feeding us and adding some more value to the conversation. And we look forward to calling you, speaking to you again. We want to check with another family member.
All right. Thank you, brother. Bye-bye.
Yes, welcome, family member. This is area code 6093-6093. Please give your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Greetings. This is Sister Nanana, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Beautiful. Welcome.
Hey.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I just want to start out by giving praise and thanks to you, Brother Thurman, for standing in and being a host on the show tonight and doing a wonderful job, and to Baba Hakima as well for sharing some wonderful and very needed knowledge with all of us, listening audience and those of us who are committed to and involved with ULU. And as you were speaking, Baba Hakima, a thought triggered for me in terms of those who might be listening, who may be members and thinking of becoming member owners in ULU, and the various ways that they can become involved. And I thought about the UBCs, the ULU Base Collective. And so I was wondering if you would say a few words about the purpose, the intent of the UBCs, and you know, how they have an impact on the success that ULU is going to continue to have in the future.
Yes, thank you for that question, and that's such a critical part of ULU. You know, a lot of our members, or some of our members at least, are in business for themselves. They're executives. They're very busy people, and they are not expecting to do anything in ULU other than just participate and help to strengthen our economic movement, so to speak. But there are other brothers and sisters who need to be in community with other like-minded brothers and sisters. So we have created, and on a weekly basis, we're going to promote it. We want brothers and sisters in communities, and sometimes those communities can be virtual, but primarily we want to talk about physical communities. And so a UBC, or ULU Base Collective, is a structure where we invite a few ULU members, 10, 15 members, to come together, and there's a structure for those. There's a process that is already developed. But we want these members to come together and begin to know of each other, to meet each other, to feel each other out, to also learn together. There are questions that some of us have that can possibly only be answered in a group setting effectively. But we know that sometimes we need the support of each other. So we want to be in a position so that we can support each other, can give advice, give support, give comfort. There may be times when there are emergencies in the community that we have to deal with as a collective. There's also a component to the UBCs where we can actually use our members in local communities to develop relationships with other black businesses in the community and actually generate additional income to come into ULU and to also help build equity in the company for members in the UBC as well. I won't go into any detail on that because it is a fairly detailed process. But the other thing is that the effective ULU-based collective is the nest or the environment that's being built to accommodate new ULU co-op businesses. We don't want to open or purchase or acquire a business and be isolated from our members. So one of the criteria for ULU expansion is that we expand in the city where the workers, the supporters, the protectors of the ULU business are already existing members and hopefully growing number of members in that city or community. So we can accommodate base collectives more than one in a community. New York, you know, you may have 20 UBCs. Atlanta, you'll probably end up with 4, 5, or 6 UBCs here. And in some cities, there'll be multiple UBCs. But that's the idea. And what we want to have is not only ULU businesses, co-op businesses globally, but our members be organized as base collectives around those businesses and to support those, protect those, and help to grow the membership in the local area and to create a positive environment for ULU expansion. Was there any other point that I missed, Sister Nana?
You covered that so well, Baba Hakima. Thank you very much. I can't think of any other points concerning the base collective other than the fact that, you know, we just want to keep it out there in front of the membership and the potential members to know that the formation of the base collectives is extremely important and plays a vital role in the success of ULU and future ULU businesses.
One of the things I do want to add on, one of the cities where we're probably going to have a good bit of success is London. As some of you know, we have board members who live physically in Europe, but from Africa. But don't be surprised that to see Cafe ULU in London, in Paris, other European cities, and strong African-based ULU collectives in those cities as well. So don't just think of it as stateside in the U.S. Think of these UBCs globally. Brazil, you know, Argentina, Belize, Jamaica, wherever we are, and clusters of ULU members. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Sister Nanana, and thank you, Baba Hakima. Baba Hakima, we've got another family member that wants to speak. Have we got time for that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, family member, welcome to the call. This is the area code 5270-5270. Please give your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, excuse me. Yes, my name is Larry Dixon, calling from Jacksonville, Florida. And I had the opportunity to speak with Brother Hakima this evening once I went online and I decided to become a part of this wonderful, refreshing organization. I was listening to the radio today, actually, and I heard the brother speaking about the co-op. And honestly, I was very much mindful and prayerful about what I could do next to further my legacy as well with my grandchildren and children. And I just think this is a great opportunity. I mean, the whole spirit of the organization is amazing and refreshing, especially at a time like this. And so I'm just pleased that I was able to hear about the organization, and certainly I will take it further and do everything I can to get others to really become a part of this co-op, because it's something that we vitally need in our community. And I'm just glad to be a part of it. Thank you.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, Brother Dixon just became a member today. The manager at Cafe Ulu was on Al Sharpton's show on talk radio today, and Brother Dixon was listening to the broadcast. I guess it was online because he's in Jacksonville, Florida, and was moved to become a member just today. So that's beautiful. And
yes,
this is being duplicated all across the country. It's slow right now, you know, but, you know, this thing is picking up speed. When you talk about Jacksonville, a little bit south of you, Cape Canaveral, most of us remember seeing pictures of those rockets firing at Cape Canaveral, and you see all the smoke and the fire and the thunder and the roar and the vibration, and the spaceship is sitting still. And but it begins to move slowly, very slowly, but after a while it picks up speed, and before you know it, it's traveling at tremendous speed. So Ulu is just off the pad, and the launching pad.
Can I inject one other thing?
Yes.
Because the brother mentioned London, and I don't know if a lot of folks know this about Jacksonville. I'm a season ticket holder for the Jaguars, but our owner, Shad Khan, I mean, he's taking this city over by storm. I mean, they've rolled off the carpet and giving him pretty much anything he wants here. And the thing about it is, he have a very strong connection in London, and the Jaguars have also. You know, we play at least one, and possibly they're looking at playing two of the games in London, because it's such a strong connection there. You know, and I think it's a great market, certainly, to look at. And then lastly, you know, I mentioned to Brother McKean that I was in Jamaica about 3 weeks ago, and I tell you, it's amazing. Out of the entire time my being there, I saw one coffee shop, and that was Starbucks. And actually, I told my wife before I left there, and my wife is originally from Jamaica, and I told her, I said, you know, Jasmine, I said, we need to come here and open up a coffee shop, because I can't understand how they got the best coffee in Jamaica, and Starbucks is the only company that I see visible in here, you know, doing business. And so that was just a thought, and it's amazing. We're talking about coffee, the coffee industry, and I'm reflecting back on being in Jamaica and seeing Starbucks there right where the ships come in, opposed to some other company that would represent people of color much better than Starbucks.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yes, brother. Thank you so much, and we look forward to welcome as a member of Ulu, and keep on doing what you're doing. Keep that strong spirit and spread the word, and we will and make sure you also tell them to go to the website usliftingus.com, and also cafeulu.com. That's their website, and also on Facebook, that's Cafe Ulu, just Cafe Ulu, and also Us Lifting Us has a Facebook page. Thank you so much, Brother Larry, for the call and being a new member, and we will talk to you on the next call. Thank you. And Baba Hakima, we could roll on for another hour. It's been a break.
But we better get off. We've probably worn out our welcome. But I'm just kidding. But I appreciate it being on the ride with you. And then let's look forward to next Thursday. And everyone who's listening in by internet or on the call, your assignment is to bring someone onto the call next week with you. Don't just come by yourself. Bring someone with you, three-way them in. But if you would, get them to the website to view the 17-minute video first, and then when they come to the call, they'll be in a much better position to understand what it is that we're offering and be in a better position to ask the tough questions. So thank you, Brother Thurman, and I'll let you close it out.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. So, family, be strong. We're here. We're in place. We talked about London and other things, and he talked about the rocket ship taking off and us lifting us has blasted off. It's lifting off the ground, and that money train is going to take off. And we could go on and on about the money train. We'll talk about that the next time. And we thank you so much for being on the call. Make sure you pass the word about us lifting us. And if you're not already a member, please take a good look at the webpage and leave your contact information, and we will be in touch with you. Somebody from the board will call you and help you with the steps of applying for membership. Family members, this is all that we're getting ready to sign off for this week, and look forward to talking to you next week or maybe even sooner, even tomorrow. Take care.
To be done, so let's do it a little bit.